Welcome all to this meeting of the Scrutiny, Regeneration and Development and Market Hall Committee on Thursday the 9th of November 2022. Are there any apologies?
We've received apologies from Councillor Afsar and Councillor Hadley. I'm not aware of any others.
Okay then, just make a note of that. Any declarations of interest? Do any councillors have any declarations of interest to declare on the items under discussion this evening's meeting? Nope. Okay then, thank you. To consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting, I'm not really aware of any urgent business for consideration. We have not received any questions from members of the public either, so it's good. Any questions from the members of the committee? Are there any of them? No members from the committee either. Right, I close the approval of the public minutes from the previous meeting. Do I have a seconder? I've all read them. Councillor Huckabee. We will now go to the vote. All those for, any against, are there any abstentions? So we'll go to the vote, sorry. Are we all agreed with the minutes?
Yes,
four. Yes, four, sorry. Yes. Any against? No. And no abstentions? No. Okay, thank you. So that's carried then. Future views. I now invite the Programme and Transformation Officer to open the discussion on the future reviews. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. As the Market Hall review is in theory due to finish in December, that was the aim, I thought it would be timely to consider any future reviews that you may like to think about. So I'll take any suggestions.
I agree we can look at reviews, but I'm a little unclear on the scope of the one we're currently doing. I was wondering if the Chair had received any guidance from the Cabinet as to how far they wanted us to go with the existing review, just to give us an indication whether it will finish in December or whether it's likely to go further than that.
Sorry, is reviewing the outcome of the market, or where are we heading with it?
Would you like to clarify, Chair?
Yes, please.
Thank you, Councillor. Basically, we're at a position where we could undertake significant data collection on behalf of Cabinet and come to recommendations based on that data collection, or we could short-circuit it, finish in December, and effectively our recommendations would be that data collection should be done. So it's whether you want that to be done inside scrutiny or outside it. And I think we were a little unclear in the last subgroup meeting where that line was.
Sorry, I'm not clear that it's really for Cabinet to determine the direction of scrutiny. It's really for scrutiny to decide where it wants to go. And I just pick up on something that Councillor Locke mentioned in terms of being unclear about the scope. So is it, because I'm obviously myself looking at the minutes of the meeting, it wasn't clear that the scope had actually been confirmed, and yet obviously officers and a cabinet member and officers have been invited to this meeting. So I think in terms of the order of how things would happen, it would be that the scope would be defined. I'm not sure that it would be for the cabinet member or cabinet or the administration to determine what the scope is going to be. It would be for the scrutiny committee to do that, and you would then obviously go from there.
We'd agreed to look at the cooperative, wasn't it, I think? And obviously we invited the cabinet members and everything to see what was going on with that, really, weren't it? Because we weren't really sure how that was going to go forward. To explain that to us, whether we were going to go for the cooperative or the food. There was two suggestions with that.
Sorry.
Sorry.
So I think there has been a bit of to and froing with the scoping paper, and we met in between the meetings, and I circulated a scoping paper on the 26th and said I felt this was the final one. I haven't had any comments back to say otherwise. I think the question was whether it was appropriate for the committee to ask traders about how they felt about cooperatives, and I didn't know whether that might muddy the waters and confuse traders as to what may happen in the future.
Sorry, can I just raise a point? I understood that this item was going to be in private. We seem to have strayed from talking about what future reviews we're going to be looking at to talking about the actual item in question, i.e. the Margie Hall. So I think, through you, Chair, I mean, obviously, if you're going to discuss what items you're going to be looking at in future items for the committee, yeah. I think that's what we should move to do, and then obviously if there's discussion, well, there will be discussion in private as set out in the agenda, we follow the agenda.
Yeah, if that's fine.
Reasonable to do.
Yeah, we'll do that. So are there any future reviews we'd like to do? The councillor.
As we are the scrutiny committee for the market hall, I therefore would like to do a scrutiny item on the views of the current traders on the way in which the market hall is managed at the moment, to find out whether there is an issue in the management structure and whether it needs to change.
Yes. Thank you. Are there any others that we look at, Councillor Huckabee?
However I look at it, I always keep coming back to two basic things that I'm picking up on what Councillor Clark said at the last meeting about the council subsidising the traders. I took an opposite direction and said that really the traders can operate anywhere where it's dry and safe. It doesn't necessarily have to be the town hall. It has to be commercially appropriate for them and what have you. But so I'm thinking that the building itself is the SBC's. And obviously it has to then make a decision as to whether or not the cost of that building can be borne either by the council budget or helped out by operating traders, allowing traders to operate inside. Those sort of commercial issues. But then I come across another obstacle in the path, which is what we're just talking about now, is that there's this issue with the roof, which in comparison to all other costs is quite huge. I had asked if the scrutiny committee could see the technical report, the structural report done, on which the basis of the estimates, £300,000, would be made.
We're going to discuss that in private.
Okay. So that's my position, that the council really ought to consider the building and its policies.
Can I bring Martin?
Just to clarify for the purpose of the committee as a whole, the scrutiny committee covers regeneration, development, and the market hall. I think the market hall subject, in terms of the cooperative element, has been identified as being to be discussed in part B, in private. So again, I'd go back to, in terms of offering up the scope of what other elements of the council's and the cabinet's, the administration's work, the committee would like to scrutinise going forward.
Are there any other items that the scrutiny panel would like to scrutinise in the future? Okay, we'll move on then. Thank you. Thanks. A list of public executive decisions have been circulated with the agenda. Does anyone have any questions on any of these? Okay. The date of the next meeting is 13th of December. On Wednesday. Is everybody happy with that? Yep. Okay. Thank you. We have three items to consider in private, so I'll now move that in accordance with Section 100A, 4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in the view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets. In brackets before each item number of the agenda. So I'll wait for the public to leave. But then Councillor.
So you did already. I'm just a little bit curious why we're moving into private to have a conversation with the Cabinet member. It's not normal that we do that.
I'm not really sure about that, Jen.
I think the nature of the reports that have been shared with the committee that the committee have requested are all private, so I think it'd be quite difficult to have a conversation about those reports in public.
It is a really important issue that the public are quite rightly interested in. The market was a very sensitive topic, as we know, and whilst we are still scrutinising or partway through scrutinising the market hall, and yes, I appreciate some of the contents of the report are confidential, I don't think it's healthy to just automatically move into private. You can't assume that everything that the Cabinet member is going to say, all the questions that we're going to ask, is going to be confidential in nature.
I do think that maybe we're discussing it in private because there's a lot of things that go on social media that aren't quite true. There is a group that sort of say everything before everybody knows. So.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more, which is exactly why we should discuss these things in public, because it irons out those inaccuracies.
The agenda was circulated in advance, and you haven't raised this before.
No, I haven't. I've reserved my right to discuss it in public at this point. I haven't heard a satisfactory reason why we're going into private, so I can't support moving into private.
I think as the agenda has already been circulated and it is in private, I think it's only fair that we actually continue in that way. It may be for future meetings, future discussions, that you have the meeting in public, or it could be that the meeting is adjourned at this moment in time for a time in the future that the meeting is then held in private, so the agenda is reissued and it becomes a public item.
Does everybody want to adjourn and we come back at a later date to discuss this important?
I look at the planning committee. The only difference between that and, I mean, that's held mostly in public, and certain sensitive issues are discussed and debated. The only thing that's outstanding from that is when commercial information is given out to the public, of which certain companies or whatever could make a sort of diagnosis of that as regards to their interest and where to pitch their competitive bids. On this one, I don't know whether we're going to get into costs. I mean, the costs are public anyway, aren't they? The estimations, because you can read them on the ESTAS website. I'm here to be guided, I guess. I mean, I tend to open my mouth all the time, so.
I was going to reinforce one of the points Councillor Allen made, and it's that we know that everyone cares deeply about the market hall. We've seen the protests when we've tried to do things with the market hall that people aren't keen on. I think it sets a very bad message if we try and do the entire programme update in private. It makes it look like we're trying to hide something. And most of our questions, I'm sure, for Councillor Walker are going to be very innocuous and are not commercially sensitive in any way. So it feels a little... we're not doing ourselves any good by going into private for the whole thing. It's just my opinion.
That's it.
Yeah, I just echo the comments of Councillor and Councillor Locke. What I could suggest is that we could, to go into private, we'd put it to a vote anyway. But at your discretion as chair, we could always alter the agenda to move it into the public part. And if there is anything that, when we ask a question, either Mark or Councillor Walker believes is commercially sensitive, we could hold those and adjourn those for a private session, as we've done previously. For example, at council meetings when we've been discussing Project D and so on.
I feel because it was on the agenda for private, I feel that it should stay as private to have a discussion. Because I think, as Councillor Locke said, it's a very sensitive issue, the market hall. And I think there's been so much been thrown around over the past couple of years that people have got sort of like, they want to know, I know that, but I think it's better if they know once something has been decided than everybody jump on the bandwagon and start saying things that aren't true. So I think it's best if we stay and discuss it in private.
Now, excuse me, Chair.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a new thing to me, and I guess holding it in public is having that live. So how alacritous is it to be able to intervene and say redact or switch off for a certain paragraph or sentence and then switch back on again? Is it that flexible? Does anybody know?
No, the meeting is either in private or it isn't. And that's why I was suggesting, I don't know when the next scrutiny meeting is due to take place. But clearly, if it is going to be in public, then it would need to be, advertised and promoted to members of the public. So, given the agenda is already here and we are where we are, I think this, the only suggestion really is to adjourn the meeting at this moment in time, or finish the meeting at this moment in time, and reconvene at another time. When, if members of the committee wish it to be in public, then it can be so.
Councillor Carr.
Thank you, Chair. Is it not at the Chair's discretion that it could just move agenda items? But if we are going to do that, I'd suggest we do that and take a vote on doing that for that item on the agenda and keep the rest of the private agenda with the private EDRs on. Because I don't think there's any need to get rid of the private minutes and private EDRs. It would just be that agenda item that we'd want to defer. But I think if that is the way we want to go, we'd want to take a vote on that.
Yeah.
I would have thought that it would have had to have been publicly advertised to give members of the public the opportunity to attend.
The agenda item was publicly advertised. It was on the agenda. The private part was there. The item, the fact that the cabinet members attending was there. So it was. I don't see a problem why we can't have a discussion in public. And then if there is any confidential information, we just presumably the cabinet member or the head of service will indicate that, and we'll have to discuss that part in private anyway.
Shall we put it to the vote if we want to continue tonight or whether we want to adjourn? So if we want to continue tonight, would you like to? Sorry, Mark.
I don't think that we can do that. I don't think we can be in public and then come out of public and then go back in again.
We have done that previously at full council, such as when we've been discussing Project D. We did it, I think, either the last meeting or the one prior. I think it was the last meeting, actually, where we had an agenda that was an item that was discussed in public, but one of the documents and the appendices was in private. So there is precedent within the council to do that.
I just think it would look really odd at the moment carrying on with this meeting. I think we need to adjourn and start again.
So All those who would like to adjourn the meeting tonight, please vote now.
Can I just clarify, is this the full meeting or just the agenda item? Because the private, as with the private minutes and the private EDRs wouldn't be impacted by the agenda item of the scrutiny one. So
we'll adjourn this item.
Yeah.
So all those in favour of adjourning for this item, taking this item out and then just going on to the private part.
What are we doing?
You've got to check. Sorry about that, everybody. So we'll put it to the vote then. Who would like to discuss it in public to continue? Councillor Harry.
I think we just need a procedural motion to move that item into the public part of the meeting, or to reorder the agenda. You've made a proposal to move into private. There hasn't been a second. I've just interjected there. Now here we are. But I'm happy to move that procedural motion if there's a seconder to move it that item onto the public part of the agenda.
A seconder, Councillor Mark. All those in favour to move that item into a public part of the agenda? There's three there. Three. All those against? Abstain? Abstention? Yeah. Okay, so we'll take that part into the public then. So I invite the officers to introduce themselves, and there will be an opportunity for questions from the councillors.
As you know, Michael Overs, Communities and Open Spaces Manager.
Martin Peters, Markets and Maintenance Officer.
Lee Berrigan, Market Team Leader.
Mark Risk, Head of Corporate and Environment Services.
Yeah, Paul Walker, Cabinet Member for Tourism, Culture and Leisure.
So, as requested, we've invited the Cabinet Member, Councillor Walker, here for questions this evening, and the relevant market officers to take any questions you may have.
Any questions?
The floor is yours.
Sorry, Councillor.
I didn't want to direct a question at you if I was supposed to be directing questions at them. One of the reasons this scrutiny review has taken a significant amount of time has been a degree of confusion around what the Cabinet believe a cooperative model is. And we had some visitors come in to talk to us about different cooperative models and how they worked. And after that, I think we came to the conclusion that they raised some very interesting things, but we didn't feel necessarily they aligned with what you yourself might think a cooperative model was. And that was one of the reasons we wanted to invite you in here to just give us a definition from your own perspective. What do you think a cooperative market hall would look like?
Yeah, thank you. Initially, when obviously the manifesto was put together pre-election, it was based around what would be something similar to Ratcliffe. And the reason Ratcliffe was identified was because we believed it was a similar type of building. It needed some kind of general repairs. It then had become a community-owned and community-run market. But that was pre-election. After the election, very shortly we found out that a small section, the main traders, were then leaving. So that threw into a little confusion about the cooperative model that we were looking to identify. Obviously, as you probably explained by the co-op, that it needs to be bottom-up, and with those four traders going, I can probably say that it was put on hold a little. To see what the options were going forward. At the minute, I think we're looking more at a sort of a community cooperative type model, which is not the co-op as such, but working with partners, people who want to get on board. The actual co-op member model, as far as we're concerned, is probably now looking at probably a year three option, when obviously you've got to build that build the trader base up, and you've got to get traders back in there to see if there is a will to form that cooperative.
Sorry, just to ask a follow up, and partly because this is in the public part. What is the management model behind that cooperative vision that you have there? Because we saw quite a few different ones where, for example, the council was still running it, but where the traders inputted more on decision making. We saw models where an actual cooperative management was formed by the traders themselves, and they effectively ran it themselves. I was just wondering if you could clarify a little.
I think the latter, what you've just said, that would what we would be envisaging, but as I say, because of what happened after the election and the four main traders departed, which some people knew about it, but if we'd have known, they left because of the uncertainty post-election. But if they'd have been still there, we'd have certainly been looking at that, the model you've just spoke about. The last one, more of that they take ownership of it.
Yeah, just really to add, I mean, in terms of the administration have set their course, obviously members will be aware of a cabinet paper that went to cabinet in September, was approved by cabinet in September, and the course or the direction in terms of the administration's taking, which is essentially to consult. So we're going to be consulting on a food court, food hall model, or this community cooperative model. So in terms of that direction, no decision has yet been taken. But I think as the cabinet member explained, the community cooperative model is working cooperatively with those agencies that want to work with us, as we've already started doing, you know, over recent times. So that kind of is where we're going. But clearly, all of that is dependent on the outcome of the consultation, which is due shortly to be commenced.
Are there any more questions for Councillor Walker?
So I'm aware that we're in the public part of the meeting, so I'm going to phrase how I put this quite carefully. We're all aware that the market hall has issues with its roof. We're also aware that there are a number of other items on the maintenance sort of backlog. I was wondering how you felt about the maintenance backlog, given how many things are currently on it, and also whether that the report that's been produced on the condition of the building will be made public, and if not, why not? So it might help the public understand what happens next.
Because of the consultation, it's my understanding, and I'm sure Mark is going to clarify this, that because of the consultation, and that's where it's going next very shortly, then there isn't a need to put that into the public domain, because there'll be enough information released with the consultation. So that's one thing. How do I feel? I feel it's years of neglect. That's what I feel, that it's in the state that it's in. If it had been looked after and maintained properly, we wouldn't have been picking up the pieces we are.
Sorry, just to answer the question in terms of why it wouldn't be released, the reason, obviously, well, not obviously, but from our perspective, is it's commercial confidentiality. If we are, and we will know as we go through the MTFS budget setting process, the sums of money we will need to undertake the repairs for the roof and sundry items, then we'll be going to the market. And clearly, we don't want to be releasing that information ahead of us doing that, when we're going to be going through a procurement exercise to procure those works.
Uh,
just had one final bit relating to that, and then obviously I'll yield the floor to Councillor Clark. In relation to that, to the maintenance backlog, has maintenance continued over the last 3 or 4 months, or has it been halted while the consultation takes place? That might be one for the officers rather than yourself.
To be clear, maintenance never ceases. The guys have what we would probably describe as a programme of planned maintenance, which involves a regular checks of the premises to make sure that things are functioning across the day-to-day elements of the business. The guys will order any repairs for the works that are required throughout the term of the year, so that those repairs do continue. I don't know if you want to elaborate on that, Mark.
Recently we've re-tarmacked the whole of the service area because that was becoming an unfit state, and all of the normal servicing that goes on for the building is carried on as it would in any normal year.
Thank you, Chair. Just picking up on some of the comments just made following on from Councillor Locke's question. So Councillor Locke asked if that maintenance report would be made public, to which Councillor Walker said that it probably should as part of the consultations, that the public have got full access to it and all the information to make decisions. You yourself have just said that it won't be made public because of commercial sensitivity, so you could just clarify that point on there. In regards to the consultation that's going to be taken forward around a co-op model and a food hall, how is this different, or how will this differ to the several consultations that have taken place over the previous 4 years, including the Market Hall Working Group, which also undertook those to get to that point? And then picking up on the comment of the years of neglect, but the maintenance schedule has carried on as normal over the previous years, given that stance by the Cabinet, do you envision that we will be increasing the pace of maintenance to get the building back up to scratch, or will that maintenance need to be paused or slowed down to wait for the outcome of that consultation as is previously needed to happen?
Shall I in reverse order, because you repeat that a second. So I think you're talking about, in your last point, about the roof. I guess, are we pausing that while the outcome of the consultation takes place?
Are we going to increase the schedule of maintenance,
or are we going to hold off on the No, so it's clear from the Cabinet report, the minutes of that meeting, is that the work for roof and related structure will go ahead as soon as possible, and by that I mean it will go through the MTFS budget setting process to access that capital to do that work. That will be happening. That is in the minutes of the Cabinet meeting. In terms of future maintenance, that maintenance will go on as it has done. The items in the condition survey are significant items of capital investment, and following the refurbishment in 2014, most of those, if not all of those items, were completed. The key items that weren't were the roof, and that is the key issue that's going to be addressed, and that is not going to stop the consultation.
I'll just come back on that one, and then I'll review my other two. And it's probably a question more for Councillor Walker. Given the years of neglect that has led to this point and the length of the maintenance schedule, but we're maintaining the maintenance schedule at the same pace as it has over previous years, in your mind, does that mean we're going to keep and perpetuate those years of neglect?
Sorry, was that to me?
That was to you, yes.
Before I respond to that, just let me clarify the opening statement you made. I'm sure you said I suggested that it would be published. I didn't say that. What I said was that because it's going out to consultation, then it wouldn't be published because the information is going out with the consultation, so we didn't have to make that report public. So just to be clear on that.
So the information will go out with the consultation?
There'll be information go out with the consultation.
Okay. So it will be published with the consultation?
No, not the report.
The report won't, but the information.
The relevant information will be published with the consultation.
probably to clarify what you're saying, if I pick up on some of your other point, was about the consultation.
The consultation, yes.
And how that
how that differs from the previous ones over the past.
Right, so the difference is that obviously it's going to be undertaken by an external company. That's the first one, independent company, which again is clarified in the minutes of the cabinet meeting. So that's already a public record. Part of the preparation for that consultation will be a scoping session or sessions. So there'll be relevant stakeholders, so officers, cabinet members, could even be members of this committee, could come along and actually inform the scope of that consultation. The methodology, I would suggest, would be different and more wide-ranging, so it wouldn't just necessarily be online, it would be person-to-person, there would be clinics. A variety of different methods would be used to undertake that consultation. And, of course, that consultation would then be presented back in its finished state in terms of what the outcome is.
So, other than the element that it's done by a third-party company, how does that differ from the work of the Heritage Working Group, which did hold stakeholder engagement, face-to-face sessions, clinics with various interests?
I'm not sure that it does, other than it's focused on the market hall and how the market hall is going to be, what future operating models, as we've said here, whether it be a food hall option or a community cooperative model, and any other, I suppose, entity that members of the public want to see in terms of how the market was taken forward.
So this will be my last point.
I'm not sure what the point is you're trying to make.
My point is, it sounds like it's just repeating the work of the, sorry, not the Heritage, the Market Hall Working Group. It's repeating the work of the Market Hall Working Group.
No, I don't think it is, and obviously Mike Cover's here, who obviously led on the Market Hall Working Group, may be able to add some points of clarity and some points of difference. But I think in terms of it being independent, in terms of it being extensive and specific to this piece of work, I think it is different, and it is focused, and it's focused on the two elements that we've got, rather than it being the Market Hall Working Group considering a range of different options. This is focused on the food hall option and the community cooperative option.
Would you like to?
Thank you, Chair. Yeah. Thank you for the meeting. I think from that perspective, the two are quite different in that respect. Sorry, I should have spoken into a microphone. Just now.
Are there any more questions, anybody? Councillor Knott?
I think Mark touched upon the issues with the roof. We all know about the issues with the roof. I was just wondering, based on our understanding of the roof renovations, Mark, and the fact that you said that's going to go ahead relatively shortly, will that lead to a period of closure for the market hall? And if it does, as a follow-up to Councillor Walker, what would we do to support the current stallholders if that was the case?
In terms of the technical elements of the roof, I'll defer to colleagues. In terms of what happens with the stallholders have been given, as I think was determined in the previous administration, till the 31st of May. So they are under, their lease ends on the 31st of May. And obviously during this period we've seen a number of traders, as Councillor Walker has referred to, leave the market hall. So the traders that we have in place know that their tenancy, their occupation of the hall is going to be ending on the 31st of May. Now, in terms of the timescales for the roof work to be done, clearly we can't begin a procurement exercise until we have the capital funding available. And as you know, the MTFS isn't set until the end of February. to begin from the 1st of April. So that doesn't mean that work can't be started on, in terms of pulling a specification together and getting planning documents and so on ready, because that will inevitably be the case. But there will be a period between the beginning of April, probably beyond the 31st of May, when those works are being procured. And it's highly likely that those works, or the intention will be for those works to take place over the summer period, obviously. So, and the question, will the market hall be closed? We will clearly have to work with the procured provider, supplier, contractor, to see whether or not it's feasible for trading to continue. My experience of these things, though, I have to say, with leisure centres, for example, is that you can have a much more condensed work programme if you indeed shut the building. So it might well be that we can have an extended programme and still keep traders in if that's what we're intending to do. So we could actually potentially extend those traders to the 31st of May for 2, 3, however many months. But then, alternatively, we may shut the hall, get the works done as soon as we can, and then restart afresh with the works having been completed. But I do have to say that the traders are under no illusion that their contracts and their arrangements are till the 31st of May. I think colleagues over there are nodding to indicate that that is the case. And that's what I'm aware of. That's what was agreed, and that's what's been passed on to traders.
Councillor Huckabee.
You said, Mark. So there's no specification for the work needed to be done, either in terms of quantity or in terms of lead times on the specific areas. We know that it leaks because there's 4 bowls or tanks put out there to catch them. I've no idea of the extent of the repairs, if the wood's rotten. I guess the steels are okay. I've put in a suggestion about the glass. But at the moment, that itinerary of work is just not known, because we haven't gone out yet for procurement, and it will take the companies who have the skills and the technical knowledge to review it and then to construct a lead time and a cost. On the cost, do I understand that there is not the provision yet until the next financial year to include the 300,000 or whatever it is in that? And I go back to what I started to say, but the chair shut me up because we weren't in private. Was that I see it as two separate issues. There's the one that, you know, I disagree with Adam, Councillor Clark at the last meeting, that somehow this building is, we're subsidising the tenants. I don't think in that way. That building, the nuclear option for that building is we demolish it. That is not on. No party is going to run with that one, no matter what your opinions. It's just you're going to get a negative from 77,000 people on that. Whether they're willing to fund it to keep it going or not, it's a different thing. But so options below that are that we treat the building as owners, and we should keep it in a fit state. I don't believe the maintenance schedules are that good. I go down quite regularly, in fact every day, and I notice gutters haven't been cleaned, I notice weeds and elders are growing out of collection pots off up the wall and leaks and whatever down it, and you know, I note in the report there's damage to the one of the corners that has to be repaired. I go around the back, I see the pretty awful condition that we store things in. So, you know, somebody was asking about do we see the maintenance schedule as being what it was previously or whatever? No, I don't think it's good enough. You know, I've looked at properties, I've built houses and whatever. I know exactly what needs to be done to keep things in fine fettle. And it's attention to detail all the time. Inspection every day. Walk round. Just check that your drain pipes are That's another issue as well.
Have you got a question?
The question is, can we treat it as two separate subjects? We mention the condition of the building with how we're going to run the internal merchandising, and that can't be done really in the sense that we've already let 4, 5 or 6 and probably lost some more tenants because they're not willing to put their money on such a short term lease and what have you. So I think we have to separate it. The building is the building, and what we do with it trading wise is another issue. Now, we don't have to discuss with those traders necessarily the nuts and bolts of what we're going to do, but we have to ensure that they have a place, if they're already in there, to trade when we do decide to do the roof. And we have to tell the people who would have come in that it's going to be available such and such, and the ones we've lost, the ones that we lost. I look at Derby Market Hall, and they've gone through exactly the same thing as what we've gone through. Yeah, a lot more expensive, but they made stupid mistakes. They shut the Eagle Market down when they knew that the traders coming out of the old market hall were going to be cast to the winds, and so they've lost both. So as far as the current traders are concerned, we have to find a place for them to stay and trade in with the proviso that they're going to come back. And if it means supporting them financially in such a situation, the retention of our commercial side is something that we have to take care of and be careful with. It's a tender thing. So that was the question.
Is that the question? Do you like to answer that more?
I'm kind of struggling to see the question, but just to kind of pick up on a couple of things. The work we've said we're going to do, and that is the roof, will be repaired, and the sense of the vertical structure as well, that will be included in that. In terms of the maintenance programme, I think obviously the officers are here. The officers do undertake maintenance. I think the issue with the market hall has been quite ongoing and quite fairly long term over the recent sort of 2-3 years. So in terms of doing works to the external, clearly that wouldn't be part of what the guy's remit would be. The work to come through in terms of what the outcome's going to be. So we also said we're going to have a consultation obviously in done by those people. I'm looking at Martin, who obviously is responsible for making sure that happens, and Lee obviously as well. But the operating model is something that will come out of the consultation. But that's
thank you, Chair. I mean, I think it's a good point that Councillor Huckabee raises, but a key part of this, I wouldn't look so surprised. You raise lots of good points, Councillor Huckabee. But I think the thing not to lose sight of here is the potential prospect of a food hall going into the market hall. There's a consultation that's going to split between... Sorry, did you want to come in? Sorry, Chair. I thought Councillor Huckabee was going to come back on the specific point. I'm happy to sort of finish what I was going to say, and then have a different issue, and then discuss a different issue. But for me, if the council did choose to go down to a food hall route, the structural elements that need changing within the building are very different to the other type of activity that's out to consultation. So as much as I think it's important to consider some of those repairs, there will be some absolutely that will be dependent on the outcome of the consultation. So, for example, ventilation will be a big issue if the council decided to go down that route. Now, it's not my job to preempt what's happening. There's a consultation and there'll be a member decision on this. So I just wanted to flag that up because I thought it was an important consideration, Chair.
Councillor Huckabee, have you got another question to ask? No. Councillor Huckabee might would like to answer your question.
I think it's probably worth going back to the work of the Burton Market Hall Working Group, where we produced and did an engagement piece with various focus groups. And one of the things that did come out was that food hall element. So clearly there's a desire from some of our members of the community to have a food hall. So there may be an opportunity to make that work. And I think that's where, as the membership of the Market Hall Working Group wanted to look at it, the food hall was an option that had found favour amongst different elements of our community. What that looks like, what those charging tariffs will be, was also something that they researched as part of the visits that we had. So we went up to Altrincham and we saw that they would charge £7-8 for a burger. That doesn't mean that the food hall, if it came into fruition in Burton, would we be charging that. The provider would need to look at the demographics of the area and look at the pricing structure, which reflect what people in Burton want to buy and want to purchase. They will have that entrepreneurialism to make it work if that came into fruition. I think where the Market Hall Working Group took this was to say, we've got a wonderful facility as the Market Hall itself. we know about the structural issues, and that's why we've had the Amion report, and that's why we've got the building conditions here. We know about those structural issues, but actually, as a premise, this is something that we can convert and make it into something else. Whether it's a market hall, and the market hall working group decided it, that it's not for the future going to be a market hall, but as a building, it's something that we could do all kinds of things with. And a food hall was up on that list, as is the potential for it to be a community asset, which also featured really high amongst the different groups that we've got. So I hear what you're saying about a food hall, and I'd have reservations going to looking at Altrincham and where they're charging £7 and £8 a burger, but if that came into fruition, we'd be talking about how that would be a third party to deliver it. That would be for those entrepreneurs to make sure it worked for the demographics of Burton. If it means a £4 splash van or whatever it happens to be, then so be it. But that's on those entrepreneurs to make it work, not necessarily trying to import the model for Altrincham and bring it to East Staffordshire and Burton, because we know we've got a different demographic.
Come in.
Thanks, Chairman. I think this is a public meeting now, and I happened to arrive without knowing the discussion that was happening, and it's now happening in public. But I wouldn't want the headline in the Burton Mail to be Mike Hover's Open Spaces manager says splash van wagon writ large in the market hall, because that would be really unfair. And the reason why I've said that is because it's not for officers ultimately to decide or to respond to Councillor Huckabee on his challenge, because it's very much a kind of policy or a political challenge. But what I would say is that we did add a note of caution in the Amion report, and it is a finely balanced situation in relation to the food hall. And that's why I think consultation will be a good thing, because there are people out there, members of the public, who won't want a food hall. There are people out there campaigning for one, but they won't be the only public that's responding to the consultation. So I think in this instance, the consultation will be a defining moment for the future of the market hall. A library isn't on the cards at the moment anyway, so it's not really one worth addressing, I think, to be honest. So I think that's probably all I was going to add, really, in relation to what Mike has already said, Chairman.
Would you like to speak, Councillor Walker? Thank you.
Yeah, just briefly, just to answer Mick and following on from Andy, I think it would be wrong for certainly the likes of me from the Cabinet to suggest what it would be or what it wouldn't be, because I would hate to think now we're in public that we're being accused of trying to influence the consultation one way or the other.
Thank you. Councillor.
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, I didn't ever think I'd find myself agreeing so wholeheartedly with Councillor Huckabee on a point that I've long argued over the past 5 years on the sustainability of a food hall. So who knew that would happen tonight? A couple of questions based on some comments that have kind of come up and based on the discussions we had with the members who from the co-op who came to talk to us around the feasibility of setting that up. You mentioned previously around the fact that the core group of traders left, which has made bringing in a co-op model quite difficult currently, and one of the big things they stressed is that you really need that kind of core of traders to actually be able to take that and form a management committee. Is anything being done to support the current traders and bring in new traders, given the fact that currently their leases are due to end at the end of May? And how do you envision to build up that core again? You mentioned previously that it's probably moved to making it a co-op model has moved to be a year three project now, because you've got to kind of start again building that up. So it'd be interesting to hear just what is being done to kind of do that and support them over that period. And then picking up on that piece, does that mean then in terms of the leases being currently looking to end at the end of May next year, do we envision a period of time where the market hall will stand empty with no traders, or do we envision a period of time where we're going to close the market hall to fix the roof? Because given in terms of where we are with the procurement and the length of time that can take and the length of time getting works, we could be looking at around 6, 7, 8 months plus of the market hall actually standing closed.
So I take the last point first because I can remember it. In terms of, I think I alluded to it earlier, I think we'll be obviously preparing the specification going out to the market, and whilst that is happening, there isn't any reason why there can't be a continuation of those traders in the market hall. And also allied to that, I'm looking at colleagues, are we working to try and get other short-term leases or tenancies into the market hall? And I think the answer to that is yes. And I think there have been one or two. And I don't know whether, guys, you want to kind of elaborate on that just quickly.
Yeah, it is a case of working with any potential traders and entrepreneurs so that they can set up at the market hall. We try to be as open and accommodating as we possibly can because we recognise that the market hall gives traders that first step into a business environment. So the guys will accommodate any request really for either a pop-up store or a lease. Clearly it needs to be commercially viable for ourselves as a council, but we will certainly continue to look at that. I know Lee's worked very closely with traders to make sure we have some kind of cafe presence across every day, so we continue to maintain that footfall presence across the months while we're in this position with the market hall.
Sorry, I knew I'd go last and I'd forget most of it. I think most of it's been covered. There is certain things we're doing or working with the traders on, but at the minute, because we're in public, probably couldn't talk about those. But it's basically supporting them in the transition. It's working out after May how long those leases can go forward, whether it be 3 months or 6 months. But you know, it's that intention to have those traders until the roof repairs start or get started. But it's effectively working with them, supporting them, and seeing them through this process. The other element, obviously, because it talks about costs, then it would be wrong for us to sort of bring it up at the moment. I think I've remembered most of it. Sorry if I haven't. Did go last.
Yeah, thank you. Just as a quick follow-up. If we did go down the food hall model, would the intention to be to still set that up as a cooperative? Or would we look to get in a private provider for that?
That's an extremely interesting question. And probably at this moment in time, it's one I'm not sure whether I could answer, because we've not got that far. I mean, obviously, the food hall model and the people that are campaigning for the food hall model would like it to become, like it to be run professionally, as they call it. If I'm honest, I probably would like it to be ran from the bottom up, but if the consultation comes back as a food hall, then obviously we've got to examine that at the time when the results of that consultation are returned.
Councillor,
I'll just come in at this point because I think that's a constant, something that kind of frustrated me, has frustrated me for a while, because the way that the market hall, whatever the market hall becomes, as a food hall or continues trading as a market hall or a venue or whatever, that's what type of operation the market hall becomes is entirely different, not always, but mostly is entirely different for the most part to how it's delivered. So you can have a cooperative run food hall, or you can have a professionally run food hall. So I don't see that there's either there's a commitment to cooperative run food hall, cooperative model, whatever that consultation then comes back and says we want a market hall, we want a food hall, we want a venue, it could still be cooperatively run, or there isn't. So just, I don't think we should get too hung up on that. And I say that because I know my members before and after the election, I always find myself making that point. Just because there's a desire to have a food, or it can be, we can get a contract and get an operator to come and run it, or we can operate as a council, or we can get now this new idea about a cooperative model
So just make that point. I'll start asking some questions now, Chair, if you don't mind, because I've waited long enough. I hear what you say about not preempting the consultation, but I'm just curious what your thoughts are about what, I mean, cliche question, I guess, but what does success look like? What do you think a successful model, you're not going to be able to get into the details of how and why and how it's operated, I know, because you've been waiting for the consultation, but how do you see the market hall in the future? What's it going to look like? How's it going to fit within the market, within the town centre, particularly with the outdoor market, which I know we've sort of discussed as a working group about how important the public realm improvements are, but I don't think we haven't touched on it too much in the scrutiny programme. I think we should, probably should. How's it fit in with the rest of the town centre? Or how do you think it should do?
Yeah, just going back to the cooperative and food hall and professional, I think I did say that's what I would like to see, and obviously we would have to look at it at the time because it'd be something that would be certainly new to us. How I would like to see it, I would like to see it as a thriving heartbeat of the town, the whole section from what people call as Project D, Bass House, running all the way through, and outdoor and indoor. I would just like to see it thriving because that's what it deserves. That's what Burton deserves.
On the outdoor market, there was in the last, when we submitted the Lough 2 bid to government, which ultimately wasn't successful, we did at that point want to make a significant investment in the public realm of the marketplace. Have you got any views about when, about if that should happen, or when it might, and if so, when it might happen? Given, I say that, given that we're pending announcements of Lough 3.
The answer is yes. If Lough 3 is successful, then yes. I think yes, it should be.
Do I take it that then the public realm improvements is going to be submitted in Lough 3?
The details of Lough 3, I believe, hasn't come out yet. So, but when it does, I mean, if that can be factored into it, then why not?
That's fantastic news. How will this committee input into... Sorry, I will just go back. Sorry, before I ask that question. I believe the Cabinet report... are we slipping behind timeline on the Cabinet report? Because I thought it was supposed to be going into... had already concluded consultation at this point, and then we're going to be assessing the... outcome of the consultation in the run-up to setting a budget. So I'm just a little bit concerned that we're running a bit behind on that.
Thank you, Chairman. Referring to the resolution of the Cabinet meeting, there were no timescales attached. Obviously, there was an expectation that an independent local firm needed to be procured, and that's been happening during October, and Mark's very shortly due to confirm a successful award of the contract. So I don't believe that we're running behind time. I don't know if Mark or Councillor Walker have any further views on that.
No, I mean, as Andy said, the Chief Executive has said, the approval to go to the independent company was given in September, and since that time we've been preparing the specification, going out to the market, having that those bids come back in, and then reviewing them with a view to appoint, and we should be appointing in the next couple of days. There'll then be mobilisation of that contract, and then obviously the work itself will take place over the next couple of months.
Thank you, Mark. Are there any more questions? The officers have covered. A question, Councillor Hooker. Yes.
Public shares will be used to raise money. It's already a public building. So
Sorry, through you, Chair. Can I just... What document are you referring to? Sorry.
Well, I'm referring to a document that... I don't know. It's a scrutiny review of the cooperative ownership of Burton Market Hall.
I think you're referring to the draft report that's just got a few notes in based on what the cooperative society told us and gave us some definitions of what a cooperative could be.
Yeah, what I'm suggesting or asking of what it is that seeing as we already own it as ratepayers or council taxpayers, that option I would have thought was pretty void.
So we let Mark come in.
Sorry, that we're not aware of. I haven't seen that report, so obviously...
I think through you, Chairman, that's a draft report that the committee's putting together, not one that Councillor Walker or Mark have been working on.
The failure of the new website is just chucking stuff out there.
Okay.
Suggest you own it, Councillor, not us.
I wanted to ask a question in relation to the consultation, because that was another of the areas we were a little unsure. What should we ask and what's already being asked of the public? I can see the value of us asking the public which of those two options they have a preference towards, but surely, regardless of what the public's preference is, if the public come back and say, we love food halls, there's the question of whether there are sufficient number of food-related entrepreneurial businesses to fill that space. And our current market hall has shown we've got such excess capacity in the town centre, there aren't enough people to come in. So I was just wondering whether you felt we have excess capacity, or whether you feel there are the businesses ready to move into a new reinvigorated market hall. And that was a question to Councillor Walker.
I'm conscious that whatever opinion I give may be interpreted by the public that I could be influencing the consultation. I mean, as for the consultation and how it's shaped, I think Mark's already sort of indicated that there's an invitation there for members of this committee to attend that group to shape the framework of the consultation. I'm reluctant to sort of go with. I mean, yes, we have a lot of food outlets in Burton. Yeah, you're right. Is there enough? Is there enough to fill the market hall? I don't know. We'll have to see.
Had enough businesses for either of the two models that we've gone out to consultation for, either filling it with traditional stalls or food stalls. So I was wondering, that was what I was trying to make it fair so that you weren't giving an opinion.
and I appreciate that. But bear in mind, one of the models is just not food, it's events and it's all sorts of other types of community situations that we might end up with.
Councillor Allen.
Thank you, Chair. So the question that I didn't ask and I should have deferred was how do you think this committee, given that it's been upgraded from the market or working group to a full scrutiny committee, how do you think this committee should operate with or alongside this with respect to the market hall and how it's developed? What role is this committee going to be playing in that, either the consultation or decisions around how it what it eventually becomes? There's a question to Councillor Walker, but it's in their manifesto.
As far as the consultation is concerned, again, that invite is there to sit and develop that framework, how the consultation goes out with members from the scrutiny committee attending those, I think they call them workshops, don't they? Workshops and how the framework's put together and questions are asked and how we develop it. So there's one option. I believe we should go side by side, really, because ultimately it's about reaching the best outcome, not just for the market hall and market square, but for the town. So if we're working side by side and also you're overseeing what we're doing, I think we're not going to go far wrong, are we?
Councillor Allen. when Andy
talks. Really just to make a general point about governance, Chairman, because it's really important to remember, and I think Councillor Allen just touched on that as well, that this has got a new title, this scrutiny, with Market Hall in the title. But equally, we have to remember what a scrutiny committee is here to do. It's either here to review existing policy, to help with the development of policy, which usually comes after a consultation process, and also to hold the executive to account when it's made a decision. At the moment, those three things don't apply here. So I think Councillor Walker's been very generous in attending this evening and engaging, and also promising further input from the committee.
Thanks for that, Andy. Just one quick question now, and then we'll wrap that up.
What's your view to the integration of the Market Hall into its geographical situation? I noticed on the BMAC report they included the replacement of all the brickwork, what have you. If I go down there today, I'll see that the entrance through into the Market Hall is now shuttered off because the Abbey Arcade is collapsing as we speak. What I'm asking is how much consideration has been given into its area of attraction. There's the marketplace around it, the market square around it, plus there's the entrance from the Cooper Square where a lot of shoppers are going to be sort of drawn or shepherded through if we want to have a successful entry of people into a market, or no matter what it's going to be used for.
Is that the question, Councillor? Would be.
Yeah, it was
who's that for?
Yeah. The simple question is, it has to fit in to the town, and part of the technicalities of making any particular area attractive is to be able to shepherd or attract or draw people in who've got money in their pockets to spend. At the moment, I don't think that applies at all. It's a shabby, downtrodden area. And if you look at the linkages through from the High Street to the Price Walk, which was the original project, the £3 million, I don't know whether that's still going on or not, but certainly, people have got to get there, and at the moment car parks are in the way, rights of passage through the towns, the market square in the way from pedestrians.
Councillor,
just explaining the question so that you fully understand.
Councillor Walker, do you want to come back on that?
Yeah, there's many opinions out there on that subject, and I think that's a little bit further down the line yet. I think as far as I'm concerned, let's get this consultation out of the way so we know the direction of travel. Then by that time we might know more about Love 3 and the finances that are available, and then that's certainly something we can look at.
Thanks for that, Councillor Walker. I think that'll be enough with the public part of it. Shall we go on to the private part of the meeting now? So thank you so much to the officers for your patience. And Councillor Walker, thank you so much for sitting there and answering the questions. And thank you. We have three items to consider in public, so I now move that in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of part 1, schedule 12A, the act indicated in brackets item number on the agenda. We'll wait for the members of the public to leave. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.